Presbyterian Church on this glorious Youth Sunday / Mother's Day. This is just about the only time you're going to hear from me, so be excited. And I have one announcement to share, and that is fellowship time. We all want you to come to fellowship time if you're worshiping with us for the first time. We especially want you to come to fellowship time so that we can get to know you. If you haven't already started the maroon folders on the center aisle, now is the time to do that. And that fellowship time, two things are going to happen. You're going to get, I believe, strawberry shortcake. Equally good to that, is we're going to have birthday cake to celebrate Jenny Nathan's 86th birthday. So you won't need to eat the rest of the day after that. And
get your umbrella, get your raincoat, get your square.
What is this about? I'm sorry, this is Youth Sunday, and you don't look like a youth. No, not Children's Sunday, Youth Sunday.
Well, Kathy, as you know, we've had issues with our roof. It is leaking. We use our Petura fund to fix that, but that fund is supposed to be for a rainy day. We've had one too many rainy days. Our Petura fund is going to run out. So what I'm thinking is, one, I can either sell a raincoat or a umbrella so that we could sit there and have extra money to fix this, or just somebody could buy an extra square. Personally, I'm hoping for the umbrella and the raincoat because I want to sit there and do my imitation of Gene Kelly and Singing in the Rain.
Whoa.
Oh.
I think you need a few more rehearsals.
A lot more.
Oh,
I
yeah.
think something else would be better.
What's this square thing about?
Well, the square thing is if you can sit there, only $10 will buy you a square on the roof. So if you can sit there and buy one square, then we'll be able to fill in that area, and then we'll have our Petura fund filled in. And then the next time we have a leaky roof, which, by the way, as I was growing up, my pastor in Florence, Arizona, First Presbyterian Church, said, a flat roof is the invention of the devil. Yes, I know. All of the session people have heard that and rolling their eyes. I've heard it before. But what we want to do is, like I said, buy one single square, or more, hopefully more. Because that way, we're going to rain. You know it's going to rain. You know we're going to have a roof leak. We've got issues to fix. So don't be square. Buy a square.
The peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Greet one another with a sign of God's peace.
and join me in the call to worship. We gather here on Mother's Day to thank God for the ones who have who gave us life. She helped us through hard times. We would never trade her for anything. Please join me in the hymn, Shine, Jesus, Shine, in 192, in Glory to God. Chosen for us. We steer away from God's love and plans for us. We often choose the path that is not in God's name. So we confess our lives to God, the one who will make us whole again. Please join me as we pray together and in silence.
Fulfillment into our lives, O Lord. It is
is true that we fail to recognize how valuable women are to our existence. Much worse, we break your heart when we exhibit little appreciation or compassion towards them. Forgive us, loving God. Open your eyes. Become aware of women who do so much. Amen. How much does God love us? Enough to send the driven heart, hope, and spirit to us, not to condemn us, but to save us.
Good morning. So today we are joining in a special occasion of baptism. Our first special occasion was when our mothers brought us into the world. Can we all agree with that? It's the reason why we're here. We will celebrate many occasions in our lives, but baptism is one of the most important. And our mothers do a lot for us. They probably brought us here today. They take us to school. They get us to go get our haircuts. They do a lot for us. Today we are going to be baptizing Peter, and his mother is going to be here with him. So we're going to start his baptism. And you guys can all sit over here, but we're all going to crowd around the chairs, okay? So we have some room.
Let's see, let's get everybody arranged here. If you all want to come over here, okay. You all want to sit right? Just have to get all the players arranged here. Good morning. They were bringing children to Jesus that Jesus might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, Jesus was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not stop them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And Jesus took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands upon them. Obeying the word of our Lord Jesus Christ and confident of his promises, we baptize those whom God has called. The sacrament of baptism is an outward and visible sign of the grace of God, inasmuch as the promise of the gospel is not only to us but also to our children. Baptism with water and the Holy Spirit is the mark of their acceptance into the care of God, Christ's church, the sign and seal of their participation in God's forgiveness, and the beginning of their growth into full Christian faith and discipleship. Let us remember with joy our own baptism as we celebrate this sacrament. And I've asked our elder, Jacqueline Mishus, to present.
On behalf of the session, I present Peter Siegfried, child of Megan and Mick Siegfried, to receive the sacrament of baptism.
I have some questions for the two of you. Do you desire to have your son baptized? If so, say we do.
We do.
Relying on God's grace, do you promise to live the Christian faith and to teach that faith to your child? If so, say, we do.
We do.
Trusting in the gracious mercy of God, do you turn from the ways of sin and renounce evil and its power in the world? If so, say, we do.
We do.
Do you turn to Jesus Christ and accept Him as your Lord and Savior, trusting in His grace and love? If so, say, we do.
We do.
Will you be Christ's faithful disciple, obeying His word and showing His love? If so, say, we will.
We will.
Peter, they're all going to talk. That's what my children do. It's okay. I was trying to prepare him for your loud answer. Do you, as members of the Church of Jesus Christ, that includes everybody, promise to guide and nurture this child by word and deed with love and prayer, encouraging him to know and follow Christ and to be a faithful member of Christ's church? If so, say, we do.
We do.
See, all those people love you. Now with the whole church. Yeah, that's my response. Let us stand and confess our faith using the Apostles' Creed as it's printed in your bulletin. Confessing together, I believe in God the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Let us pray. We thank You, O God, for the gift of creation called forth by Your saving word. Before the world had shape and form, Your Spirit moved over the waters. Out of the waters of the deep, You formed the firmament and brought forth the earth to sustain all life. In the time of Noah, You washed the earth with the waters of the flood, and Your ark of salvation bore a new beginning. In the time of Moses, Your people Israel passed through the Red Sea waters, from slavery to freedom, and cross the flowing Jordan to enter the promised land. In the fullness of time, You sent Jesus, who was nurtured in the water of Mary's womb. Jesus was baptized by John in the water of the Jordan, became living water to a woman at the Samaritan well, washed the feet of the disciples, and sent them forth to baptize all nations by water and the Holy Spirit. Blessed by Your Holy Spirit, gracious God, this water. By Your Holy Spirit, save those who confess the name of Jesus Christ, that sin may have no power over them. Create new life in all who are baptized this day, that they may rise with Christ. Glory to You, eternal God, the One who was and is and shall always be, world without end. Amen. By what name is your child to be baptized?
Peter Frank?
Mm-hmm. Peter Frank. I know, Peter.
It's okay.
How about if Mommy and I do this together?
Come here. It's all right, Peter.
You can stay with
me. It's okay.
How about your Mommy and I do this in the water at the same time? Okay? Ooh, it's gotten kind of cool. I'm sorry. I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the... Almost done. Got to get that Holy Spirit in there, and the Holy Spirit. I'm sorry. Can we not? Okay, I know it's really cute, but it's scary. Okay. You did great. You did great. I'm so proud of you. Amen. Yeah. All right. Let us all pray. Ever-living God, in Your mercy, You promise not only to be our God, but also the God of our children. We thank you for receiving Peter by baptism. Keep him always in your love. Guide him as he grows in faith. Protect him in all the dangers and temptations of life. Bring him to confess Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, and to be his faithful disciple all his days. In the name of Jesus Christ, we all pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now, ordinarily, this would be a time when I would take Peter around. But as we know, Peter is not particularly outgoing and is a little fearful. And you know what? But we receive people whether they're afraid or brave, whether they're happy or sad, because they're part of our body and we love them just as they are. And so today, this is how we're going to welcome Peter, by just being quiet and friendly, and maybe after worship, kind of going up one at a time gently, because sometimes it takes a while for folks to feel at home. So this is how we're welcoming Peter today. Ruling Elder Jacqueline.
I present this certificate and quilt, a quilt made by Becky Woods, a gift from the Presbyterian Women, to Peter. This is the certificate. And his quilt.
This is for you, Peter. You like it? Yeah. Oh, I got to get it right side up. That's why you're giggling, aren't you? Because I had it upside down. Look at that. Oh, look. Everybody likes it. And this is for you. It's for you. Amen. That will make you feel welcome. Amen. Yeah. The peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Peter Frank. Oh, you're so good. I was really saying it to Peter, but you're so good. Peter Frank Siegfried, welcome to the family of God. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Oh, absolutely. Great joy. And now, boys and girls, you can go back for Sunday school with Mr. Reynolds, if you want. All follow Mr. Reynolds. Whoa. You okay?
Thank you.
The Old Testament reading this morning is Genesis chapter 21, verses 15 through 20. Hagar, a slave of Abraham and Sarah, is sent away because Sarah is jealous of her son, Ishmael. They are sent to the desert to die, with only bread and water. This is a story of mother's love and devotion to her child, and God's love for them both. Listen now for the word of God. Finally, the water in the flask ran out, and she put the boy down under one of the desert shrubs. She walked away from him about as far as a bow shot and sat down, telling herself, "I can't bear to see the boy die." She sat at a distance, cried out in grief, and wept. God heard the boy's cries, and God's messenger called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, "Hagar, what's wrong? Don't be afraid. God has heard the boy's cries over there. Get up, pick up the boy, and take him by the hand, because I will make of him a great nation." Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well. She went over, filled the water flask, and gave the boy a drink. God remained with the boy. He grew up, lived in the desert, and became an expert archer.
This was submitted by me, and the influential woman I will be talking about is my advanced math teacher, Ms. Greenberg. Ms. Greenberg is my advanced math 7th grade teacher. She's helped me grow better in both in math and is there when I need help. Either with its problem in math class or life problems, she was always there. She always takes the time to explain things for me, so it's better for me to understand. Thank you, Ms. Greenberg.
This is a testimony submitted by Isaac Pitts to his mother, Cindy Pitts. She has helped me through a lot of tough times. She has helped me with schoolwork, and she has carried me my whole life. This is another testimony submitted by Tom Pitts to Nellie Legas, his grandmother. She told me to always trust in God, pray and live a life committed to Jesus. This is submitted by Cindy Pitts to Carrie Hustler, her sister. A sister is someone who loves you from the heart. No matter how much you argue, you cannot be drawn apart. To me, my sister is an angel in disguise. She is full of intuition and is intelligent and wise. Her logical advice always helped me through difficult times.
This is a testimony submitted by Hazel Lasttop, and the name of the woman is Miss Basin. I'm sorry if I pronounced that wrong. My 6th grade math teacher accepted me as I was encouraged individually in a public school setting. It wasn't until 7 years later that I found out that my struggles in school were due to me being dyslexic.
This is a testimony submitted by Rob Flagg to Ms. Regensburg, his 4th grade teacher. She recognized my God-given artistic talent by praising my drawings and paintings. She had gathered cardboard canvases and had all of us make historical paintings for Thanksgiving. It was my first real painting, and it inspired me to be an artist. Thanks, Ms. Regensburg, Rob Blagg.
This is a testimony submitted by Elaine Isaacs to Ellie Kinkle. Ellie was the wife of our pastor, Red George Kinkle, at Rankin Presbyterian Church in Brush, Colorado, during my middle school years. Ellie had a beautiful voice and played among other things, the auto harp. She was talented and fun to be around, a loving wife and a mother of three. She taught middle school Sunday class and encouraged us to ask questions. Any question was okay. and anything we wanted to study in relation to our faith or the faith of others was okay. She believed the more we knew, the stronger our faith would be. So when we asked to study other faiths, she said okay, and even set up field trips or visits to those who were of the faith we were learning about. I remember she took us to a Jewish synagogue in Denver, some 90 miles from our home church, where a rabbi showed us around and told us about the Jewish faith. The lesson that has lasted a lifetime and served me exceptionally well was the day she gave us a new and very personal way to look at sin. She wrote this on the blackboard, sin with a capital I, and explained that when we looked at our life, relationships, and world only from the capital I point of view, we were sinning. I have found that to be very true and continue to view sin as sin with a capital I. I will always be grateful to Eleanor Ellie Kinkle. I recently tried to find her or one of her children to tell them how much she meant to me, but I was unsuccessful in making contact.
Of a woman of great faith and courage. A swarm of people were following Jesus and crowding in on him. A woman was there who had been bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered under a lot from doctors and had spent everything she had without getting any better. In fact, she had gotten worse. Because she had heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his clothes. She was thinking, if I just can touch his clothes, I'd be healed. Her bleeding stopped immediately, and she sensed her inner body that her illness had been healed. At that very moment, Jesus turned around and said, "Who touched my clothes?" His disciples said to him, "Don't you see the crowd pressing against you? Yet you ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus looked around carefully to see who had done it. The woman, full of fear and trembling, came forward, knowing what had happened to her. She fell down in front of Jesus and told him the whole truth. He responded, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace, healed from your disease."
This is a testimony submitted by Jacqueline Mishes to Kim Mishes, her mom. She showed me how to be a strong woman. She showed me how to be a strong woman and how to act. How to be responsible. She taught me how no matter what there is, there's never a reason to give up. My mother has also taught me to be kind to everyone that I come across in my life.
This testimony, written by Wesley Smith, is for his mother, Stephanie Smith.
She's the one who has brought me to church every week. She's told me how church works. I may not want to go sometimes, but she tells me to go, and she tells me it's the right thing to do.
This is another testimony to Kim Mishes, submitted by Xander Mishes. My mom always pushes me to work hard in my life. She keeps me grounded when I act like I have no feelings. She keeps me humble and human.
This testimony, written by Glenda Crowley, is for Dorothy Johnjaward. I don't know if I said that right. I apologize. Psychologist, author, my boss in late fall of 1976. I was newly divorced and mother of three. Dorothy called my business college asking for part-time secretary. They sent me through just casual talking. She kept me going and even used some of my talent, making photos for her books. She was my first real exposure to a fulfilled woman.
This is to Mama Matuke Regina, sorry if I pronounced that wrong, Pinda, submitted by Diali from Mekong. Mama Matuke was a hard-working woman. She was a quiet leader, the greatest cook, compassionate and funny lady. She was such a great dancer. And each time I think of Mama Matuke, I smile. Mama Matuke was a faithful wife to my father, Papa Pius Maleki Pinda. When my father passed away in 1984, my mother Matuke continued to protect us and give us hope. Her cooking, dancing, leading, gardening, and compassion for the orphans are trials that I long live in my life as long as I live. Long live Mama Matuke. I miss you.
This was written by Tom Isaacs for Hazel Marie Phillips Isaacs, his mother. My mother, Hazel Isaacs, was a woman of very strong faith and conviction. It is probably safe to say that for many, she was the heart of the Scranton Free Methodist Church in Scranton, Texas. Kansas. She supported the church, its members, ministers, and ministry in every possible way. She provided support and food for the youth group. But my mom was much more than just a member of a congregation. She lived faith every day, from her prayer time, her demeanor, and countenance, to the way she treated others. In the fall, she would make sure the kids of the poor families in the community had coats. She provided Sunday dinner for a former coal miner who was suffering from black lung disease. She gave the servicemen she worked with at Forbes Air Force Base a sense of home, and when they were deployed, she sent them off with 24 homemade, in the early hours of the morning, cinnamon rolls. Her cinnamon rolls were renowned. She was always giving and wanting to help others, putting the needs of others above her own. Her faith never faltered.
I am reading John 15:9-17. Jesus teaches us that at the core of our faith is love for one another. As the Father loved me, I have too loved you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy will be in you and your joy will be complete. This is my commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. No one has greater love than to give up one's life for one's friend. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I don't call you servants any longer, because servants don't know what their master is doing. Instead, I call you friends, because everything I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you could go and produce fruit and so that your fruit could last. As a result, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. I give you these commandments so that you can love each other.
Today I'll be reading Galatians 5:22 through 26. In the scripture, Paul explains how the Holy Spirit gives us what we need to love. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against things like this. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the self with its passions and its desires. If we live by the Spirit, let's follow the Spirit. Let's not become arrogant, make each other angry, or be jealous of each other.
Okay, so our first testimony is submitted by Valerie Langwell about Pastor Kathy. She's always there for me when I need her most, whether it's a hug, someone to talk to, or someone to steal candy from. She's helped me through my struggles and always reminds me God has his reasons and I'm strong and loved by many. She always gives me a reason to smile and the confidence to keep going and keep pushing through life. Our next one is submitted by RJ to his mother, Miss Tori von Sweden. She brought me into this world and takes care of me.
This testimony is submitted by Jaylen Van Sweden to her mom, Tori Van Sweden. My mother is someone who I can look up to when I'm down and swimming. She cheers me up. I can cry on her shoulder and she comforts me by saying, "It's okay," or, "You did the best you could." When I am hurt or sick, she is there. What can I do without you, Mom? I would have no direction in life. Thank you for being my mom, and I love you so very much. You have shown me that dreams are possible with work. This testimony is by Nico Rodriguez to Christy Allison. She helps me learn as a good person to talk to you about stressful things.
This next one is submitted by Ms. Sheila Malmo. Throughout my life, many women have and do influence my journey of faith. Teachers in elementary school, junior high, and high school who challenged me to push through. My grandmothers, aunts, sisters, and many friends at different times in my life who said or did something profound to influence me. Pastor Linda and Pastor Kathy who guide and mentor me. Children who surprise me with their wisdom.
And this testimony is by Andy Tiemann to Jenny Nathan. Jenny Nathan turns 86 on May 14th. As her youngest son, soon to be 57, I have watched her for over half a century. She has taught me by example that the door to life opens outward. Her outgoing nature is an astounding miracle to behold.
Our next one is for Miss Opal Angel Burgess. Mom was my greatest influence in life and in faith. She always had a smile on her face and a kind words when spoken to. Growing up, we never knew we were poor because we had each other. Mom made sure we had food on the table. It may have been a lot of oatmeal and potatoes, but to us it was a feast. She also made our clothes, and we were proud to wear them as we trotted off to church on Sunday. Mom had a special bond with each of her children, a trait she instilled in her children. She kept us close as a family and to faith in God. In our younger years, Mom gave us marching orders to get ready for church each Sunday. As teens, she coppered to church functions. As I grew and spread my wings, I always stayed in touch with Mom, no matter where I lived. Through life, Mom's faith in God remained strong. That is the inspiration I tried to live by. This scripture defines Mom. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps not record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always preserves. 1 Corinthians 13:4-7. Love and miss you, Mom. Miss Verona Schmidt. So now, I'll be talking about my own mother. Hello, Mother. And my mom is Miss Yali Pomukong. My mom teaches me and my sisters the value of education. She always says it's not a man that makes us beautiful, but education. So she knows, you know where she stands on boyfriends, so that's just not in the question. My mom says confidence is key, and that we should always make our presence known in the room with how we dress and how we present ourselves. She always tells us that food brings people together, and every time we have family, or, you know, our dad comes over, we always make a dish called kwa koko, which is a traditional Cameroonian meal, and it consists of cocoa yams, palm oil, and turkey. And so we're old school in our house, and we always grate it by hand, and Mom always looks to Anui and me, and then my sister to cut the turkey, and it's very time-consuming to make that dish. But she always tells us that we make that dish for people to let us know that we love them and that we're always thinking about them. My mom sacrifices a great deal for us. For me in particular, I'm very involved in science fair, and there are nights where I don't sleep. I'll stay up to 4 a.m., have to get up in 1 hour and 30 minutes for school. My mom always stays up with me to make sure that I always get it done. She's very supportive. For instance, yesterday at our state track meet, even if we're in first, she's always yelling and screaming and for us. And she's always the loudest on the field. She really draws attention. But I love her so much for doing that. She's always giving, even though things can be tight sometimes. Her love is unconditional. She's always smiling. And people always compliment her on her parenting. And that comes with love and discipline. But we know not to behave, not to act up, because her discipline comes in terms of lectures, and they are long lectures. And I just thank my mom for raising 3 beautiful girls, and I love you so much, Mama. Thank you for everything. Please join me in singing, Though I May Speak, page 693 in Glory to God.
for being here today, and I just had to get my two cents in. We didn't have any graduating seniors from high school this year. However, Abunika, stand up.
Woo!
We have a college graduate, Miss Cohen. That's a joy. I have a joy and a concern, a very serious concern, but first my joy is, glory be to dear friends, Dean and Carol Griffith are here from Cincinnati, and they love the Southwest as much as I do, so it was a great surprise to have you with us, so welcome. And then I do have a serious one. Vivian Jones had emergency abdominal surgery, and she's in intensive care at Rust. So please, during the silent time of Adam's prayer, please be lifting her up.
Happy Mother's Day, everyone. Huh? I said Happy Mother's Day, everyone. So, I'll pause it, and then you can say your concerns and prayers for people. Dear Lord, our Savior, we thank you for all the women you have given us to nurture our young and steer us on the right path. Even though we may get angry at them sometimes, we love them. Please hear our prayers for those who need healing and help. Thank you for healing your healing hand and helping all people in their time of need. Thank you also for loving us and teaching us through Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
God is an awesome God. Generous God, we should recognize that all that we have comes from God. Let us return to God what He has done or what He has given to us. Join me in the prayer of dedication. Everything in heaven and earth comes from you, Lord. You give generously. We return to you what you have given us. We ask for you all that we have during our service. We will praise you forever and ever. Amen. During our hymn, the youth will be passing out flowers to all the women. Our hymn is Like a Mother Who Has Borne Us, verses 1, 3, and 4 on page 44 in Glory to God.
They're still handing stuff out, so be attentive, women. You're all getting a flower. I want to, first and foremost, be sure that you know everything from the bulletin cover. If you guys want to go ahead and go back, because you've got stuff to do after. Okay, yeah. Was written or crafted by our youth. Anhui and Chela composed the pieces they played for you. Yeah, well, don't act so surprised. And so we want to let you know that, because it isn't just that Lynn or I just threw some stuff together and made them read it. They selected all the scripture passages and as well to have meaning for today. So I want you to know that. And so we go out from here with grateful hearts. Grateful for all the women who have served us in love and faith, who have revealed that part of God to us. And we go from here knowing that we have been blessed and held in the loving arms of our God. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the infinite love of our God, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit be with each of you now and forever. Amen.